Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack from Love the Academy, with me, co-host on this edition of the program. And, Bill, from time to time I get these questions. When do we leave the country? Let's say that Joe Biden was elected president of the United States. I got this question from a friend up in Canada most recently. I can't remember exactly when, maybe a week or two ago. But I get these questions. When do we leave and where do we go? Those are the two questions we get. When do we leave a country and where do we go? In 1994, I wrote a book called The Second Mayflower in hopes there would be a place where people would go who wished to be free from persecution from, say, tyrannical governments. And, you know, I modified the book several times. By the way, still a few copies available if anybody's interested. But, you know, the question is, when do you get out of Dodge? When does it get hot enough where you've got to get out of Dodge, which is a Western term for, well, leaving town?
Yeah.
Now, Jesus said, if they persecute you in this city, flee to the next. And so, you know, 1994, I think we were considering that the Reagan Revolution was over. Bill Clinton was elected president of the United States.
And people were asking the same question.
And people were asking the same question. So yeah. I wrote the book, The Second Mayflower, really trying to get down to repeating something of the experiment that the Pilgrims and Puritans gave us in forming the nation. So at the end of the book, basically, we stay here, we work here, we build the Second Mayflower here. You know, we build upon the principles and upon the heritage that we've received as a nation. So that was where the book went. But I did play around with the question of fleeing. And people are still asking the question, when do you leave? Now, generally speaking, I say when they force your kids into state indoctrination centers or when they throw you into jail for preaching the gospel to sinners, even homosexuals who need to repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ to save them from their sin of homosexuality. Let's say that they, you know, send you to prison for that kind of stuff. There may be a point at which you want to leave and disciple the nations elsewhere. You may want to dust off your feet and move on elsewhere where they'd be more likely to receive the message. Paul did that over and over again. You know, he'd move on. MoveOn.org, when it came to persecution in this city, he'd move on to the next, and he just kept going. It just brings to mind the book from Erwin Lutzer, We Will Not Be Silenced, just published. I think Moody Publishers or somebody released the book. He's got a point. We will not be silenced. Is it time to leave the United States? No. That's my answer. No. I think we have another opportunity. And as long as we have the opportunity to speak, we need to speak. And Bill, I think the problem is not so much that our speech is being limited by anybody. It's the fact that we ourselves are limiting our speech. We're not getting out there enough. We're not taking advantage of the opportunities that God has given us. We have a tremendous freedom to communicate the gospel. We're just not using it enough as Christians. I guess that would be my point at this point.
And what you don't use, you lose. If you were to tie my arm to my side and leave it there for a month and then loose it, what little muscle there is there now would have atrophied. I could not chop wood. Okay? If you don't exercise your liberties, you will lose your liberties. And we as Christians need to get louder and brighter in a culture that is being deafened with secularism and darkened with sin. We need to become louder in our proclamation of the gospel. We need to exercise what liberties we have under the First Amendment in this nation and proclaim truth and grace. I'm going to give you a personal example, if I may.
Yeah.
Okay. Down at our Worldview at the Abbey program down in Canyon City, Colorado, we periodically take our students out to share their faith. We do an evangelism practicum. And there's the unique opportunity in Canyon City because the high school has an open campus. So for lunch, students are allowed to leave campus to walk down to the local fast food markets and fast food restaurants, and they're about two or three blocks away. Well, there's a park right across from the high school, and many of those students hang out in the park, especially those who have kind of figured out the system and realize how bankrupt secular education is. They're the potential dropouts, okay?
Okay.
Well, we take our students to that park, and they share their faith. We've had great conversations. Well, recently, there's a problem in that park of drug dealing. In fact, every time we've been with our students in the park, there's been a police presence. But it's very difficult to catch drug dealers. They're kind of crafty and clever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in an attempt to solve the drug dealing problem in the park, the city and the school entered into an intergovernmental agency agreement, an IGA. And the city basically said, we're going to give the park to the school during daylight hours, 5 days a week, 9 months out of the year. So therefore, they're not having to deal with a drug dealing problem. If they see people who are non-students in the park, they can say, you are trespassing and you must leave. Now, that doesn't solve the drug dealing problem in Canyon City. That just moves it to a back alley. It just keeps it out of sight of the administration. And so they can say, we have no drug dealing problem here, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're trying to solve a spiritual problem with a legal solution. We are there to proclaim truth and grace. We're there to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're trying to solve a spiritual problem with a spiritual solution,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Right.
But because of this intergovernmental agency agreement, we are now banned from being in the park because we're non-students. My students at the Abbey are non-high school students. I'm not a student. And so legally, we would be prohibited from being there. Well, we have challenged that. And when we
legally,
come back,
legally,
when we come back, I'll tell you what happened today.
Okay, let's take a break, my friends. Exercise your freedom of speech. There's a lot of it still out there. And we as Christians need to exercise those muscles, as Bill just mentioned. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we're back on the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack also in studio. And Bill, as you were witnessing the gospel in this park down in Canyon City, and you received a little pushback, you challenged it legally.
Yes.
Now, most recently, that is, as of this morning, things changed.
Yeah. Well, we got in contact with Christian Legal Society, okay. And they researched it, and they agreed to send a letter to the city and to the school administration, to the city officials, school administration, and saying what you're doing is you're removing a free speech zone, a traditionally public place where free speech can happen, a park, and you're not enforcing this consistently.
Mm-hmm.
As I have observed, I've been to the park several times, and I've observed people walking their dogs, people riding bicycles, parents taking their little toddlers and playing on the playground equipment, and not being challenged. We had taken our students there prior to the Christmas. And I had a cordial conversation, along with the pastor, with the principal. And he said, we just want you to sign in. If you just sign in, we don't mind you being here. We just need to know you're here. Well, I'm not about to grant him jurisdiction that he does not have. He does not have the authority over a public park. And he does not have the authority to tell me I can be there or not be there. So Christian Legal Society has stepped in. They've sent a letter. Well, today we went. We took our students.
Okay.
And we went out to share our faith. It was a beautiful day, an opportunity in January to have our students engage high school students in conversation. And when we arrived and students started leaving the building and flowing through the park, so did administration and security people. And I was in the park. I made them very aware that I was there. My presence was pronounced, okay? Mm-hmm. I wandered aimlessly but purposefully through the park. And I even greeted them. Greeted administrators and security,
yeah.
You know, and
sure.
they said, how are you? I said, I'm doing better than I deserve. How are you? And and nobody said anything.
Nobody challenged you.
Nobody challenged me. Mm-hmm. We had conversations. Our students had conversations. And at one point near the end of our time there, which is only 20 to 25 minutes, I was talking to three high school students. And
in the park.
In the park.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sharing the gospel with them. For me to share the gospel, it takes maybe 3 minutes, okay? And 2 to 3 minutes. And as I was sharing the gospel, a police cruiser pulled up. Police officer got out of his cruiser, came up behind the students facing me, and he listened. I thought, well, this is going to be interesting because the school is asserting that this is school property and I must be trespassing. But he listened for a while, and as I shared the gospel, and then he kind of backed off. It was almost as if the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of bumped him out of the way.
Okay.
It was really fascinating.
So you just continued with the gospel
message. Continued. I thought, I'm not going to stop because he's standing there. If he wants to talk to me, he can talk to me. Those three students heard the gospel. They trusted Christ right there. They indicated faith in Christ. We continued our conversation. I gave them tracts that we have produced,
right. Mm-hmm.
Evangelism tracts from Worldview Academy, as our students watched all of this. And after we finished our conversation, by this time the police officer had returned to his cruiser. I finished the conversation. I gathered my students very visibly walking again through the park, the length of the park, gathering my students. We gathered on the sidewalk. We prayed, debriefed, and then we were gone. It was without incident. But there is the intimidation factor.
Right. And you have to get past that.
You do. And I realized, and that's one of the lessons I was able to teach my students. You mean we need to be bold.
Yeah.
Kevin, it is not natural or normal. It is not in my wheelhouse to go out and do this.
Right.
I hate doing this. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was an adult before somebody trained me how to effectively give away my faith. So it's not as comfortable for me as it is for other Christians, perhaps. I know very bold Christians. But for my students' sake and for the sake of those students who are trapped in that secular prison called public school, mm-hmm. I'm convinced that we as Christians need to go out into the public square and proclaim truth and grace as often as possible. I told my students today, and I'm serious about this, I see this opportunity and this buffeting by Satan against our free speech liberties and our free press liberties. I see it as an opportunity for us to start a revival in that school, a revival in Canyon City. That sounds improbable. It sounds impossible, but with our God, nothing is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw today, we had four students in 25 minutes who trusted Christ in that park. To shut that down is not just a violation of our free speech. It is a violation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I will not back down.
Bill, I don't think it's an option for Christians to opt out of sharing their faith. I don't think that's an option for us. This is our reality. This is where we live. This is the truth. We share it. We share it in grace and mercy, wisdom, etc. One of the things that I'm really been convicted of is that I don't give up on any opportunity whatsoever to say something to witness to my faith. And I was in a trailer park just a day or two ago, and the guy right across from us had the conversation and got into matters of the faith and sharing a bit of the gospel. And it's interesting. It's interesting that they resist. I think resistance is all part of the game, and I think you have to get used to that. It seems to me that I was violating social conventions immediately, you know. I was crossing a line,
right.
And I could tell in his eyes, I could hear in his voice, the minute I crossed the line, I knew when I crossed the line, you know, talking religion, politics, right? But mainly religion.
Right.
That's the issue. And you're not supposed to go there, but you go there anyway. It's who you are. The faith. You share the faith in faith,
right?
You believe these things, so you say them in faith.
Yeah.
And concern and love for the others.
I hope I don't quickly forget the joy on the faces of those three guys, those three high school students, as they realized what the gospel was. And when I asked them, would you trust Christ to give you eternal life? And they all eagerly said yes. While behind them, unbeknownst to them...
Oh, they didn't even know the police officer was there.
Stood an officer of the law who was... called specifically, I'm convinced he was called by the administration to at least try to intimidate me from exercising my First Amendment liberties.
Yeah.
But I hope I never forget, or do not forget quickly, the joy and the glory of Christ shining through those three faces. That were there listening to the gospel. Pray for Canyon City High School. Pray for my students. Pray for me that I don't get in the way, that I get out of the way, that it does not become an issue of pride or me wanting to win, but it's about the gospel.
Bill, I think Christians, all of our listeners need to understand that the Lord in His providence continues to give us opportunities, an open door to preach the word. And as you said, it's a darker world. Shine the light. The light shines so much brighter in the dark world around us. And I'm noticing that everywhere I go.
Yeah.
We have a greater opportunity now than ever before. So take full advantage of it. And I want to touch a little bit on this issue of this freedom of speech. It's interesting that schools and colleges are at the forefront of destroying or attempting to destroy our freedom of speech. And I'm going to contrast that with the U.S. Supreme Court, because the U.S. Supreme Court seems to be committed to maintaining something of a freedom of speech. In fact, they've taken up this case for a Christian student, Chika Uzigbanam. I don't have the name down right. It's some African name. But
Gesundheit, by the way.
Yeah. Chika Gesundheit, I think, is his name. But this young man was distributing Christian pamphlets on a campus. I'm not sure which college campus. Oh, it was Georgia Gwinnett College. Have you ever heard of the Gwinnett College in Georgia?
Gwinnett.
Gwinnett College in Georgia apparently stopped him and said he could not witness the gospel unless he was in the free speech zone. So he moved to the free speech zone, but even then he was hampered from sharing the gospel and passing out these pamphlets. And so they invoked the campus policies to silence him, he says. He brought a lawsuit against the college, and this lawsuit has been taken to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they have agreed to hear the case, which is very interesting. Now, there's a study that finds the majority of majority of college students think that government should punish hate speech, which includes religious speech. A online survey of 530 undergraduate students conducted by the Tommy G. Thompson Center on Public Leadership. It was done in partnership with the University of Wisconsin Survey Center. They asked the question, how much do you agree or disagree with the following statement? The government should be able to punish hate speech. Get this, 63% agreed that governments should punish hate speech. 29% disagreed and 6% were unsure. Now, 40% of students agree that governments should be able to restrict the speech of climate change deniers.
Wow.
Okay, that's interesting. So it comes to the politically correct position on certain far-fetched scientific theories. 40% of college students say that you should be punished. I guess that means you're fined and put in prison if you disagree on some particular far-fetched hypothesis that scientists have come up with. 50% of students believe that government should be able to restrict the speech of racially insensitive people. But they, get this, 53% believe that employers' religious beliefs should give way when it comes to providing goods or services such as contraceptives or abortion coverage that violate their religious beliefs. So that's the majority of students believe that that companies that restrict contraceptives for their employees should be punished or should be fined or should be restricted by government. So that, according to this recent survey. But it's interesting also that the U.S. Supreme Court, in a unanimous decision, Bill, in a unanimous decision on the question of hate speech, and this is what they ruled in 2017, this is unanimous, okay, this is liberals and conservatives together, they made this decision, and here's the language contained in the decision itself. The claim that government may restrict speech expressing ideas that offend strikes at the heart of the First Amendment. This is the Supreme Court. Speech that demeans on the basis of race, ethnicity, sex, religion, age, disability, or any other similar ground is hateful. But the proudest boast of our free speech jurisprudence is that we protect the freedom to express the thought that we hate.
In 1957, Roth versus United States, here was the ruling of the court. All ideas having even the slightest redeeming social importance, unorthodox ideas, controversial ideas, even hateful to the prevailing climate of opinion, have the full protection of the First Amendment.
Yeah.
And why other reason would you have a First Amendment unless it was to protect speech with which you disagree? If everybody agreed, why do you need to protect speech? In fact, I submit to you, Kevin, and to our listeners, that the First Amendment was written specifically and directly for Christians who wanted to go out and proclaim the gospel.
Because that's the most offensive message of all.
Yes, because it was to protect speech in dissent. And Christians are always in dissent against the culture. We are calling the culture back to righteousness, and they don't want to hear it, and so they want to shut us up. And I submit the First Amendment was specifically written with Christians in mind.
Friends, here is what's happening. By the common grace of God, He has secured the freedom to speak in America, unlike many other nations. Bill, I don't know how many other nations there are in the world that protect speech as much as that one little piece of paper, that one, you know, what, 25-word sentence in the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights of the Constitution of the United States. That amendment has solidified and secured a freedom for hundreds of millions of Christians and continues to become something, a wall of protection for us. And let's take advantage of it. Now, I don't think these college kids are going to be able to shut down the U.S. Supreme Court and erase the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution for at least 20 to 30 years. Meaning that these guys are going to grow up. They're going to get jobs. They're going to get political positions. They're going to get elected as future Supreme Court justices. I can see that happening. I can see these anti-First Amendment censoring kids who have been taught by their leftist communist professors to take this position. I can see them growing up. I can see them moving on. I can see them doing the best they can to erase the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Maybe 20 years from now, 30 years from now.
I think you're optimistic.
Not for now.
No, you're optimistic. This is a fight I've been fighting for 40 years, Kevin. And there is always an attempt to suppress free speech. And it takes... Okay, back in 1969, the landmark case for student rights, for student free speech, was in Des Moines, Iowa. It's called the Tinker versus Des Moines argument, where students who were protesting the Vietnam War wore black armbands. Okay? Now, and they were kicked out of school because they were told to either remove the band or you'll be kicked out of school. Now, that sounds really tame to us today, that they'd wear black armbands. But They took it all the way to the Supreme Court, the students did, and the court ruled in Tinker versus Des Moines, it can hardly be argued that either students or teachers shed their constitutional rights at the schoolhouse gate. Now notice the wording. Neither students nor what?
Teachers.
Teachers. Do Christian teachers know Tinker versus Des Moines? Mm-hmm. No. They kowtow to the secular system. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, when you and I were in Des Moines, Iowa, at your convention, at your conference or other,
mm-hmm.
I heard an attorney, as I was passing by his room, and it caught my ear, and I had to enter and listen to him on my way to do my talk.
Okay.
I took time out.
Yeah.
He said, I got approached by two students. He said, I'm not litigious. He's, in other words, he doesn't like to go to court. He likes to settle, you know, things amicably. But he said, I just had to take this case. Well, I caught my ear. I went in. I listened. He said, I had two students who were told by an assistant principal that they had to turn their pro-life T-shirts that they were wearing inside out or go home and change. He said, now that's not unusual. I've heard these stories many times. So have our listeners. He said, what made this case interesting, he said it was the assistant principal, and these were students at, guess what, the same high school where Tinker versus Des Moines took place.
That's, Chris, interesting. Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Now, here's an administrator who is paid to know the law, who takes classes in knowing the law, who has no excuse in not knowing Tinker versus Des Moines, a landmark case, and she still flouts the law. She still violates the law. She still decides to be a tyrant. Which said, I had to take this case. And I'm going, that is so indicative of our culture. Mm-hmm. These are people who do not care about the law. They care about power. They want to suppress free speech. Such an administrator should be fired summarily, because ignorance of the law is no excuse, nor is it. She's either incompetent or she's a liar.
What you're saying, Bill, is we need a full court press on fighting for the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution all the way to the Supreme Court, and we need to continue this for the next 20 years. And yes, I agree. The college, the school, is bound and determined to destroy the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. They want to destroy that amendment to the U.S. Constitution and silence Christians. That's a given. That's happening. The question is, will it happen with the current Supreme Court? And I don't think it will. Now, could it happen within eight to 10 years? Yes, I think so, given that we're not on our game. But the present makeup of the U.S. Supreme Court, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Roberts, I think they're going to go ahead and maintain the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I think we're going to have freedom of expression at least for the next 6 to 8 years.
Only if Christians stand and speak in the public square.
And one thing I want to say is thank God for the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Imagine what that little amendment has done. Thank God for Patrick Henry and Samuel Adams that fought so hard for the Bill of Rights against James Madison and others who opposed it. Well, here's one more thing I want to say, Bill. I just want to leave on this point because I think this is somewhat encouraging. And you're right. We have to be on our game politically. But here is what is happening when it comes to opportunities for using our First Amendment rights. And I think we need to continue to use them, Bill. We need to use them in the parks. We need to use them on the Internet. The Internet now is still reasonably free. Now, maybe not forever.
Well,
we've got to be on our game.
Parler's been deplatformed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There will be a fight to the end on this. You bet, Bill. We're going to have to maintain something of islands of freedom on the Internet as well. I'm sure there are Christian tech guys who are working on this right now. I hope there are.
I hope so.
But the Internet is still reasonably free up to today. I don't know what's going to happen over the next 4 years. But as of 2020, get this, Bill, there are 500 million blogs. 500 million blogs on the Internet.
That's an amazing number, but I would say that there are probably a number that are fewer today because they've been kicked off.
That's possible. And get this, 850,000 podcasts, we've got a lot of competition.
We do. But we're at the top of the heap, aren't we?
Not quite. But we're all competing with Fox News, MSNBC, and CNN. If each podcast reaches 200 people, that's 400 million people reached by podcasts every day. And that's nothing to wink at. That's significant. Friends, that's something of a competition. There has been something of a decentralization of control over the entire media package. it may not last forever because the bad guys may not appreciate the competition.
Seize the day. Seize the opportunity. We need more people doing podcasts.
Back in 1990, Bill, I had a little newsletter I published. I copied it. I put it in the mail. It cost me 25 cents a stamp. My little newsletter went out to 60 to 70 individuals. But now with a push of a button, we can reach 10,000 people pretty easily. And that's not just me. That's the other 850,000 of podcasters. The monopoly sustained by Facebook and CNN, I think, is still very precarious. Now, of course, everything is in the hands of God. But it seems to me that he's tipping the Tower of Babel such that there may be a decentralization of the voices. Yes, they want to go to, they want to make a tower, they want to centralize power. But there's always God to confront with, to encounter and to confront with. And they're going to have to realize their monopoly may not exist forever. Friends, we should take advantage of the opportunities we have in whatever calling God has brought us into. Let's take advantage of the opportunities to bring the truth in grace to others, whether it be on the internet or whether it be down in the local park. Either way, get the word out. Get the good word out. Bring the gospel to as many people as you can. We've got an opportunity to do this, take full advantage of it. Bill, I do not think it's the Supreme Court of the United States. I don't think it's the universities. I don't think it's the schools that are getting in the way of people getting the good word out. I think it's fear.
I think we are our own worst enemy.
I think it's flaccid muscles.
I'd like to encourage people. I'd like to quote once again from the 1969 Tinker versus Des Moines ruling by the Supreme Court. In our system, state-operated schools may not be enclaves of totalitarianism. School officials do not possess authority over their students. Students in school as well as out of school are persons under our Constitution. They are possessed of fundamental rights which the state must respect. In our system, students may not be regarded as closed-circuit recipients of only that which the state chooses to communicate. We need to understand what the law is. We need to understand our liberties, and we need to exercise our liberties. If we do not, we will lose our liberties, and we will deserve to lose our liberties.
And I will encourage families to continue on teaching the history of liberty as well to your children. It's important that you understand the battle of liberty that has been waged for some 800 years in the Western world. That's why I wrote the book, The Story of Freedom, which gives the story of freedom over 800 years. Hey, the battle has been waged and won. The battle has been waged against incredible odds. That's one of the most astounding and interesting and phenomenal aspects to this story, is that oftentimes this battle has been reduced to a single person or a very small handful of people fighting against an entire empire. And yet, by the grace of God, the battle has been won over and over again in the Western world. It's an exciting story. Share it with your kids and then challenge them to be the next in line to fight for liberty in the next generation. The story of liberty, the story of freedom, found at our website, generations.org, or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.